going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. The DMV has already been hit very hard by summer storms and even tornadoes, and it's just July. There's much more rough weather ahead. So what do you do when the storms cause damage to your home or your car or other property? What you don't know could cost you a lot of money. Well, joining me tonight to help you with great consumer information is Joy Hachette, Associate Commissioner with the Maryland Insurance Administration. She's been here before. She's got lots of information. So if you have a comment or if you have a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisherWHUR or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Hey, Joy, how are you?
Harold, how are you?
I'm doing just fine. And so far, I have dodged the weather bullet, but a lot of people have not. And a lot of people are really looking at their homeowners insurance and the like. But the question that I have, starting off, is even if you decide today to make a change in any insurance that you may have that will protect you from severe weather. The reality is that if you started today, it really doesn't start today, does it?
Well, it really depends on the type of policy we're talking about. So let's say that you decide this evening that I don't have the right kind of auto insurance policy, and you want to extend that policy to something called full coverage.
Mm-hmm.
What you have to do is you need to contact your agent, and then the agent has to actually make those changes. And those changes generally will become effective as soon as the agent actually makes the changes and the paperwork is received by the insurance company. Now, let's say you decided on your home you needed something called flood insurance. Well, there's typically a 30-day waiting period before that flood insurance policy would kick in. So you can't decide. If you know that the storm is coming, you can't decide, oh my goodness, let me go out and get a flood insurance policy and it be effective immediately. So it really depends on the type of policy. But even if you've got an automobile policy, you've got to contact that agent and the paperwork has got to go in.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about insurance, the kind of insurance that you need to protect your home or other property from severe weather. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Okay, so Joy, we've seen all kinds of damage over the past couple of weeks related to the storms. We've seen trees down on homes, trees down in yards, trees down on cars. We have seen long-term power loss, power outages that last not just a day, but in some cases, 3, even 4 days. What have you heard about the kind of damage that, for example, Marylanders have experienced over the past several weeks that perhaps may not occur to us?
So in Maryland over the last couple of weeks, especially on July 12th, the major thing that happened was trees that were down. And I want to start with trees that damage people's cars.
Okay.
And we've seen a lot of that. And what I want to stress with people is that if you don't have full or also called comprehensive auto insurance, that tree on your car is not going to be covered. If you only have the mandatory liability coverage, that type of damage is not covered. And a lot of people, once the car gets a little bit older, they drop full coverage because it's not required. I mean, the lender is going to require you get that when you first buy that car, but you pay it off, and in order to save a few bucks, you drop full coverage. Well, if something like a tree falls on your car, then there is no coverage for that.
So now, what? I'm sorry, go ahead. No, please, finish your point.
Well, no, because then I wanted to turn a little bit to homeowners. But did you have something
to
ask about the auto?
Yeah, I did. So what happens if you have, you know, full coverage, but your car is paid off, okay? And a tree falls on the car, will the car be replaced? How might that work if a tree falls and the car is totaled, for example?
Okay, so let's talk about a couple of different things.
Sure.
So tree falls on your car and the car is a total loss. They're not going to necessarily pay you to replace that car. They are going to give you the value of the car before the damage occurred. So let's say that you've got a car and it's been running just fine, but it's an older car, it's got some rust, whatever, and so that car's value is only a couple of $1,000. Well, that's all the insurance company is going to give you. And you might say, well, I can't go out and buy, especially these days, a new car or car to replace that car.
Exactly.
$2,000. That's not what your insurance policy requires. Your insurance policy only requires that the insurance company give you what the car is worth. Hmm. And that's where we end up with a lot of consumers that are unhappy. Now, let's say your insurance company comes to you and says your car is only worth $2,000. And you say, well, no. I just did this. I have a fancy stereo. I've done all these other upgrades. My car is worth $3,000. What you're allowed to do is dispute the value that the insurance company places on the car by showing them other comparables, and they have to consider the other comparables. Now, they don't have to accept them, but at a minimum, they have to consider them. Now, the other thing we frequently see is in Maryland, if the damage to the car exceeds 75% of the value of the car, then it has to be declared a total loss. The insurance companies are following the law. That's not up to them. And people sometimes don't want their car to be deemed a total loss, but the insurance companies have no choice. Those are the rules.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about severe summer weather and insurance to your home, to your property. What you need to know that can save you money, because what you don't know could hurt you. Let me go to the phone lines. Renee, calling from Virginia. Thanks for calling, Renee. What's on your mind?
Hi. Wow, what an interesting topic, Mr. Fisher. This is hitting home for me because my air conditioning unit just decided to die on me right in the middle of the heat wave.
Mm.
And we have a home warranty company. I'm not going to say their name, even though I should, because they ought to be ashamed of themselves for not covering this issue. The water leaked all over the basement floor and destroyed our hardwood floors and everything in the basement. And I'm just calling because I just want to let your listeners know to check your policy. Make sure you understand what is covered. I love your guest. You know, she's giving some really, really good information. But you've got to, you know, be proactive and check your policy to make sure these things are covered, because we ended up having to come out of our pocket with $6,000. So, you know, and that's a huge hit. So just take it from me. Check your policies, people.
Yeah.
You'll be glad you did.
Now, Renee, hold on, because you've got three things going on here. You were hoping that your air conditioner was covered under a home warranty, but what happened to it caused damage to the home, which
correct.
I would imagine would also involve homeowner's insurance, but
correct.
But it also sounds to me as if the homeowner's insurance would not replace the air conditioner. Is that correct?
That is correct. The home warranty company, it was our understanding that the home warranty company would cover the air conditioning unit, but mm-hmm. they only covered a portion of the air conditioning unit. We had to come up with the rest of the money. And so the homeowner's insurance, Travelers, is tremendous. They covered everything, our floor, our drywall, everything that happened as a result of this unit failing.
Okay.
But the actual unit had to be paid for by us, even though we had a policy that supposedly covered the air conditioning unit.
So, Joy, what are you hearing here? Yeah. Joy, what are you hearing there? Go ahead.
Let me start off by saying.
And thank you, Renee.
Thank you.
Let me start off by saying that home warranties generally are not insurance. And so your state insurance departments are not going to have authority over those. In Maryland, home warranties, you can go to our attorney general's office and they may be able to assist you. And also, I'm glad to hear that the insurance company covered the damage to the home caused by the air conditioning unit failure, but that does not always happen. I mean, it's really going to be, a lot of times what will end up happening is the insurance company is going to look, and it's going to depend on the terms of your homeowner's insurance policy, because sometimes if the cause of the air conditioning unit failure is because of a defect or something of that nature, a lot of policies have specific exclusions for that. So Renee is absolutely correct. Knowing the terms of your home warranty, but also knowing the terms of your homeowner's insurance policy to make sure you understand what they will and won't cover, because a lot of times it comes to what caused the particular piece of equipment to fail.
Yeah. I'm going to take a break in a bit, but Joy, it's my understanding that your office, the Maryland Insurance Administration, is holding virtual presentations during the course of this month. Can you share a little bit with me about the After the Storm event?
Yes. What we're doing, because there were so many people that were impacted as a result of the July 12th storm, the trees falling and the other types of damage, my office determined that what we would do is we would have a virtual session. We're going to actually have three of them, and there'll be a basically 30-minute presentation, and then we're going to have the opportunity for virtually people to meet with folks at the Insurance Administration and get their specific questions answered. I mean, insurance is a difficult area, and so sometimes you just need someone to be able to ask your very specific question to.
So where can they find that information?
They go to our website, insurance.maryland, and spell out Maryland.gov, and on the homepage, they'll see specific information about this particular event.
Insurance.maryland.gov.
Yes.
Okay, insurance.maryland.gov. Catherine from D.C., stay with us. We're going to be talking to you next. But we're going to take a quick break. But don't forget, you can hear every edition of the Daily Drum Insight segment via podcast on WHUR.com after 8:30, right there on our website. I'm Harold Fisher. Stretches in for John Mons with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. This conversation about severe storm damage and insurance to protect your property will be back in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are talking about protecting your home and your property from damage caused by the severe summer storms. This is just July. The summer is long from over, and we have more storms to come. Joy Hachette is the Associate Commissioner with the Maryland Insurance Administration, and she is answering your questions and ours. Lines are open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Let's go to Catherine calling from D.C. Catherine, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, hi. I live in D.C., and I know she's Maryland, but I was just wondering, do general insurance policies cover when your trees fall? I live in I have a lot of trees in my yard. They're all very healthy, but they're huge, and I'm just so nervous that with all the rain and the wetness of the ground, the tree might fall down. Do insurance companies cover the trees when they fall, and they're live trees, but just as a result of the storm?
So generally speaking, if a tree falls in your yard, your insurance policy, most insurance policies, will pay between $500 and $1,000 to remove that tree, regardless of the number of trees. So if you have one tree fall or 10 trees, it doesn't matter. They're only going to pay between $500 and $1,000.
Mm.
Now, if the tree actually falls on your home, then they'll pay to remove the tree from the home or the fence or make sure you get ingress and egress. But if, from what I'm hearing from you, you've got lots of trees and they probably would just fall in the yard, and there's going to be a limit on how much the insurance policy is going to cover in an aggregate amount.
What will they cover if the tree falls on someone else's house?
Now, here's the thing. If your healthy tree falls on your neighbor's home, that's your neighbor's responsibility, not yours. Your neighbor's insurance company. Let me repeat that. Your healthy tree falls on your neighbor's home. That is the responsibility of your neighbor's insurance company, not yours.
But if it falls on my house, will the insurance company pay for whatever damage is done to my house?
As long as you have the appropriate coverage. Now, let me put a quantifier on that.
Yeah, I was about to ask, what is the appropriate coverage?
Well, exactly. First of all, I want to start with insurance is not a maintenance policy. So let's say you have a roof, and the same roof has been on your house for 50 years, and you've never done anything to repair or replace that roof. And the tree falls. Depending on the terms of the policy, your policy may limit how much they're going to pay for that old roof. Also, your policy, just like any other policy, is going to require a deductible. So whatever your deductible is, that's going to be taken out of whatever your insurance policy pays. The other big thing is, if let's say, instead of, we've been talking about trees, but let's just say there's wind damage to your roof, and the wind takes off some of your shingles. Well, the only thing the insurance company is required to do is to replace or repair the shingles that were actually damaged. You're not going to get a new roof just because some of the shingles blew off.
Okay. All right. Thank you so very much. Appreciate it.
Catherine, thank you
Good
so much. Thank you so much for your phone call. Before I go to the next call, I did want to follow up on the news story that we have seen. I believe this happened in Prince George's County, perhaps in Adelphi, where a homeowner didn't have the coverage on his home to remove a tree, and a landscaper was going to charge like $6,000 to remove it. Now, after this, a county council member helped to cover the cost. But is this along the same lines of what you're talking about, where you have a huge tree and an insurance company just isn't going to pay to remove it?
What we see frequently, and I can tell you a couple of instances that we've actually seen. So there will be a big storm, and a tree is, because it's such a big storm, it's now leaning toward the person's home. It hasn't damaged, it hasn't fallen or anything else, but everybody looks at it and says, that tree is going to fall.
Mm-hmm.
And so the consumer might call the homeowner's insurance company and say, I want to put in a claim to take care of getting this tree removed. The insurance policy does not cover that, because your insurance policy only covers actual damage. And so the homeowner might say, well, then I'm just going to wait until the tree falls on my house. No, because at that point, the homeowner knows that there's a potential for the tree to fall, and for the homeowner not to do anything, that's a failure to mitigate and prevent the loss.
So in other words, you're suggesting be quiet until it happens.
No. I'm suggesting to maybe get a GoFundMe page and get that tree down.
Now, in the case of this tree in Adelphi, the tree did fall and it blocked the entrance to the home, and apparently there was some damage. But again, I guess this goes back to what you said, if a tree falls in the wood, does the insurance company pay for it? If the tree falls and damages the house, but not severely, is the insurance company obligated to remove the tree because it damaged the house?
Well, I mean, and this is going to really depend on the terms of the policy. And that's why I say to people, if you get into a position and you believe the insurance company is not paying you what you think you're entitled to, like they're not paying, the tree falls on your house and all the insurance company says, we'll move it off your house and that's all we're going to do.
Wow.
Get in touch with us and we'll look at the terms of the policy and see what specifically the insurance company is required to do.
Mm.
Because that's what our folks at the Insurance Administration do every day, all day. We read through the particular terms of these policies.
Mm. Wow. We'll move it off your house, but then we'll leave it in the yard. That just doesn't even make sense.
Well, that's why I think your first caller emphasized the importance of reading and understanding that policy.
Oh, look at mine tonight. But I don't have any, you know, all I have are shrubs. So, you know,
well, that's a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah. No trees, knock on wood, that could possibly damage my home, I don't think. Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Lisa, calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Lisa. What's on your mind?
Hi, Harold.
Hi.
And I didn't catch your panelist's name, but hello.
Yeah, Joy Hachette, yes.
Yes. Hello, good evening. I do have a question about how does renter's insurance play in? I live in Accokeek. On the water, and I'm renting, and I do have renter's insurance. I did go after flood insurance on a separate level to that through FEMA, because I had to go through FEMA to get that through my insurance company. But with everything that you're saying, you know, what if a tree falls on this home? I have renter's insurance. I'm not the homeowner. What then am I to think?
Okay, and so with a renter's insurance policy, let me start first with the premise. A lot of people, there are different types of renter's insurance. And so it's important that you know what product you actually have. Some renter's insurance basically covers all types of perils, wind damage, fires, or whatever, with the exception of flood. But then there are certain renters policies that only cover one peril, specifically fire. So it's important that you know what type of renters insurance you have. Also, when you are renting, and if you happen to be renting from a large management company, sometimes they will, quote unquote, require that you have a policy, but that's not always true renter's insurance. That may merely be a liability waiver, which only protects the landlord. It's just like what it sounds. It's to protect the landlord for anything that he or she may be liable for. But let's assume that what we're talking about here is truly renter's insurance, and you mm-hmm. have a true renter's policy. Mm-hmm. So, as you know, the landlord is responsible for the structure. And so your renter's policy won't cover the structure. What the renter's policy covers is your stuff, your
right.
clothing, your electronics, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Also, if you've got the correct type of renter's insurance, let's say you can't live in your home or apartment for a period of time, a renter's insurance policy will step in and give you a place to live. So if you've got the right type of renter's policy, then it protects you against all of that. Now, with flood, yes, renters can get flood insurance through FEMA, and that will protect your items if they are damaged as the result of flooding. That being said, if you happen to rent a basement apartment, there's going to be limited, if any, coverage there, because generally speaking, flood insurance does not cover items in a basement, not personal property items. It covers things like the HVAC unit and maybe a washer and dryer. But if you basically got carpeting and paneling and your clothes and your electronics down in a basement, generally speaking, a flood insurance policy is not going to cover those items.
Okay, that's for renters, or is
that's
that for
renters or home? That's renters and homeowners. Doesn't matter what.
Say that again, Lisa.
Go ahead. I said, no, that's very valuable information on that. Very valuable. Thank you. I will go ahead and contact your office or look on the website and definitely sign up for these virtual sessions.
Well, thank you so much. And those, again, you can find them on the website at insurance.maryland.gov. That's insurance.maryland.gov. And, of course, that a website will be posted on our website along with the podcast for this conversation on WHUR.com after 8:30 tonight. So thank you so much for your phone call, Lisa. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Joy, talk to me about personal property insurance. Do you recommend it? What would it be for?
So, under your homeowner's insurance policy, generally speaking, that is going to be a portion of already included in the homeowner's insurance policy. So that's sort of a built-in coverage. Now, when it comes to personal property, there are certain things under your homeowner's policy that have limits on how much the insurance coverage is going to pay. For example, jewelry, antiques, collectibles, the limits can be anywhere from like $500 to $1,000. So you might need to get additional coverage on those items. And also, I mean, if you've got anything that's extremely valuable, you'll probably want to get a separate, what's also known as a rider, to protect that. Now,
hold on for a second. Define extremely valuable.
Okay. So let's say you have an antique cabinet that has been passed down over the years. Your insurance policy is going to limit, generally speaking, how much they're going to pay. And so I'd say if it's worth a couple of thousand dollars, then you need to talk to your company. And if you're not sure if you need a separate policy, then you should talk to your particular insurance agent. And then jewelry. And a lot of people think, well, I don't have a lot of expensive jewelry. I've got a few nice pieces. Well, a lot of these policies limit and will only pay $500 or $1,000 in total. So if you've got a couple of nice watches, a couple of nice rings, and other items, you've already exceeded that amount. So you just be aware that your policy generally has limits. And if you're somebody that has a lot of camera or video equipment or a lot of other types of electronics, there are probably going to be limitations on those as well.
Now, I had excuse me, I had a very valuable piece of jewelry, and I had it appraised, and the appraisal was submitted to my insurance company under personal property insurance 15, maybe 17 years ago. And it was for quite a bit of money, a whole lot of money. And it was covered because it was appraised for the original appraisal value. So I would say I was happy that I did have it appraised, because, you know, like you said, I don't have a lot of jewelry, but I had, you know, three pieces, and one of them was lost. One of them, you know, included, you know, a watch, a bracelet, and a necklace, and one of them was lost. But because each of these individual pieces was appraised separately, and that appraisal along with photographs and the like were part of my insurance policy, my insurance company covered it in total.
And that's going to be dependent on the particular insurance company. Some companies will cover it under your basic homeowner's policy. Other companies will require that you get a separate policy for it. So
yeah, and that's what I had. It was under personal property. It was under personal property, which was separate from
a
homeowners,
separate,
and there was no deductible.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do want to go back to the home thing. So, and I would imagine no matter what it happens to be, whether it's your home that's damaged or another structure, when these things happen and there is no injury to yourself or others, what is the first thing that you would recommend that someone do? I mean, do you recommend that they take photographs, look, write down the time, the condition of the weather? Kind of give me the rundown of the steps that people should take immediately after they try to get over the shock of this storm-related damage to their property.
So the first thing that you obviously should do is make sure that you and your family are safe. Mm-hmm. And as soon as you do that, then you need to take pictures of the damage at that specific time and also begin to what we call mitigate. That means take steps to prevent further damage to the property. So let's say you've got this huge wind that has caused a window to break, and now you've got the wind blowing in and rain coming in. Take reasonable steps to cover that space without putting yourself in harm's way so that you can prevent future harm. Because under the terms of your policy, if you don't take those steps to mitigate, then that gives the insurance company a basis to say, well, you allowed more damage, and we're not going to pay for the extra damage.
Wow.
So you've got to, but it's reasonable steps to mitigate. So if you can, it's really like questionable when there's damage to a roof. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I know I'm not getting a ladder up and getting on the top of my house to put a tarp up.
Come on, Joy. But, you can do it.
No, I can't. But so what I may try to do is call some people to get them to put a tarp up. But now this is where you got to be careful, because know who you're dealing with before you hire somebody to make any repairs. First and foremost, you shouldn't be making any permanent repairs without giving the insurance company an opportunity to come out and look at the structure.
Mm-hmm.
But then also, if you just see Joey from around the corner that you've never seen before knocking on people's doors saying, if you give me $500 cash, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z, Joey from around the corner may come and take your money and you never see them again. So you've really got to be careful. I mean, you've got to mitigate, but just be mindful of who you're dealing with when you mitigate those losses.
But I would also imagine if you find someone who's reputable, who can help put the tarp up in this particular example, and he charges you $300, would you then submit that bill to your insurance company?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's why it's important, to the extent that you have people that do work, get receipts, keep those receipts, and submit them to your insurance company. But contact your insurance company quickly so that they have the ability to give you a claim number and they can give you advances if possible so you can start getting that work done.
You know, you talked about taking photographs, writing down information, but, you know, a lot of people love to post stuff on social media in their own form of video documentary, documenting, and, of course, letting their 20 or 30 followers see what happened to their house. A good idea, bad idea? What do you think?
Well, I have mixed emotions about how people use social media sometimes. And you just need to be mindful. I mean, documenting the damage and whatnot is, and if you choose to use your cell phone to do that, that's fine. But if you let the world know that you've got this big gap in your house, what's to stop other people from breaking into your house because there's now a gap in your house? So just be mindful of what you do and what's posted.
Yeah. We've talked about a lot of do's. Any other don'ts that you want to share with our listeners regarding homeowners insurance policies, storm damage, or the like?
The one thing that I really find, and every time I find it, it breaks my heart. When some of our older adults' mortgage is paid off and they decide that they're going to do without homeowners insurance, and then there's a loss, either a fire or storm damage, and they have no way to rebuild or replace their home. And what I would tell people, I understand right now money is tight. I mean, I hate going to the gas station. I hate going to the grocery store. But letting your homeowner's insurance policy go is one of the last things you should do, because we don't get to plan when a disaster strikes.
Yeah, I can't. The thought of something like that never occurred to me, or never occurred that someone might do that, because if a tree falls, or as you said, if there's a fire, And your home is destroyed, your life could very well be destroyed as well if you don't have that safety net to repair or replace the home.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, Joy, I really appreciate you bringing your expertise to this conversation. I'm getting text messages from listeners who are giving you a lot of praise, as they always do when you come to the Daily Drum and share information. And I really appreciate it. And it has helped me as well. And I just wanted to share with our listeners again, for that After the Storm event, there's going to be one on Thursday, July 21st, from 12 p.m. to 2, Friday, July 22nd, from 5 to 7 p.m., and Saturday, July 23rd, from 12 to 2 p.m. You can find out more information online at insurance.maryland.gov. That's insurance.maryland.gov. Joy Hachette, always a pleasure to have you on. Thank you for talking to us.
Thanks so much for inviting me. Have a wonderful afternoon.
You too. That is the Daily Drum for this Tuesday, July 19th. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.